Today, as we continue in the book of Proverbs, we're remembering that in good instruction, there always needs to be an introduction to that instruction, an orientation, is maybe a way to think about it, that the pursuits of life here in the book of Proverbs are talked about and spoken of in terms of a path or a way. And that lends itself to the sermon kind of series title, which I've called The Way of Wisdom. Now, our paths of wisdom, right, the paths of our life, the way in which we live, are either going to land us in a ditch, or worse, a pit, as spoken of here in this passage, or they will bring us to a place that we've been searching for and longing for our whole life, a place of thriving and of blessing. And these first nine chapters in the book of Proverbs are the work and provide the foundation for orienting us with respect to the Proverbs that we're going to read later in chapters 10 and beyond. They're kind of like, if you might think about a map, and in the bottom, usually right-hand corner of that map, you have a compass and a key. And that's to help you understand the scale of the map and how it is that you need to orient that map. The arrow by which we orient our lives as we're thinking about walking this way to blessing, to wisdom, as we walk our life, the true north that helps us to make corrections and account for deviation in the map is the fear of the Lord, right? The fear of the Lord. That's where we finished up last week. And let me just say a word about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is not, it can cause you to quake and shake. A way in which you could think about the fear of the Lord is you could think about it in terms of a life that is aware, you know, a person living a life aware of the presence of the Lord, aware that the Lord can see you wherever you are. Now, on one sense, that could be a terrifying prospect, couldn't it? I mean, you know, you're just like waiting to be caught being messing up. But for the person who is living by faith, right, who knows who the Lord is, that fear of the Lord changes a little bit. It would be one thing to be thinking that you are being watched kind of on camera to be caught doing something, but it is another thing for a child to say to their father or mother, you know, Daddy, Mommy, watch me. That is the fear of the Lord, right? I will, at the end of our service, pronounce the benediction. And that benediction speaks to the smile of God as he looks towards us and his intent for blessing. Okay, so the fear of the Lord, that's a hard concept sometimes for us to get our heads around. Now, the fear of the Lord, then, in the way in which we live our life by faith, it sets us out in the right direction. And around us, there are all sorts of distractions. All sorts of ways that we could be headed. And in those ways in which we are headed, we won't find ourselves on a broad, flat, easy way. There will be obstructions, or as one movie says, obstacles. There are going to be obstacles. And we need wisdom to meet those things, those challenges. Right, the mere application of, say, policy or rules or habit, the way in which we do things, is not enough to meet everything that you will encounter in life. And this is what wisdom provides for us. It takes the law and it deftly applies it to circumstance. So think about this. If the Bible is a sword, right, that's one of the metaphors that's used to describe what the Bible is the sword of the Spirit. You need to remember that you can't treat every challenge as something that you hack your way through. If you do, you're going to ruin and destroy things. things, even if you're making use of something that's good. A sword is used as a defensive weapon as well as an offensive weapon. And even as an offensive weapon, it doesn't limit you to merely swinging hammer blows at something. Sometimes a deft thrust is all that's needed. A sword that is rightly used can disarm and save a life as well as take it. And this is why you need wisdom as you walk the way. So today, our teacher Solomon is going to take us to a side, like a father to a son, and to encourage us as we set out. And as we look at Proverbs 1, 8 to 19, we're going to be looking at the way of the winner, the shortcut of sinners, the pace of pilgrims, and the gain of the greedy. And before Janie Hughes comes forward to read our passage, let me pray for us. Would you join your hearts with mine? Heavenly Father, all of us need wisdom, and I thank you for your promise that you are not a fault finder, and you don't begrudgingly give, but you give freely to all who ask in faith. And so, Lord, we ask that you would send your spirit of wisdom that we might understand and see. Lord, especially that we might hear and apply, be encouraged, be challenged, be called to repentance and to turn in faith to you. And Lord, that you would bring Jesus glory in all of this, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Proverbs 1, 8 through 19. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of a bird, any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors.
Thank you, Jamie. All right, so firstly, let's look at the way of the winner. As a collection of saying for the young who are seeking to navigate the complexities of diplomacy in the life of the court of the king, which is one of the ways in which we can understand why the book of the Proverbs were collected and how it is that they were being used, they're specifically addressed to young men who are pursuing that training. And in this world that there are fathers and there are mothers, these fathers and mothers ought to be the first and the foremost to whom we hear these words, who are committed to the nurturing and growth of their children. And, you know, it's a terrible reality in the brokenness of the world that that's not always the case, that many of us are where it is that we are here because of family, which was that family sort of shepherding and care that was denied to us as youth. But it's more expansive than that, because there are many people who have become to us fathers and mothers. And each of them, at their best, are those to whom the book of Proverbs is directing us to pay attention. And so this first orientation, right, by which we direct ourselves on the path of wisdom, we've said already, we heard that first, is the fear of the Lord. Now, the second is to direct our heart to hear instruction and teaching. Hearing is the key. ears that are willing to hear, a mind that is reasonable and can apply what it is that it hears, together with a will that obeys, that's the point, right? But it all begins with hearing. I had two friends who worked together a while back. One of the friends had a glass eye, and the other was deaf in one of his ears. It took a while, but they finally realized that they couldn't sit together in a certain orientation on one side because the friend with the glass eye couldn't see his friend talking. And so he never recognized that his friend was addressing him in a conversation. And the friend who was deaf in one ear couldn't hear the other if he was sitting on the side of his deaf ear, because he couldn't hear him. And so they would have these conversations, or thought they were having these conversations when they weren't, in fact, ever communicating. Now, no one who wants to hear turns their deaf ear to the speaker. No one who wants to see closes their good eye and only looks with their blind eye. For the simple, this is one of the categories of a fool that Proverbs talks about. For the simple, hearing just leads to too much trouble. It's just too inconvenient. They would rather go around blind and deaf, only hearing what they want to hear and only seeing what they want to see. You see, to hear another person's instruction and teaching implies that you are going to hear something that maybe you don't want to hear. That you are going to be led to see something that you would rather not see. That you have gotten yourself turned around and are headed in a wrong direction and you need setting right. And that is just a blow to our pride. But there's a promise. For the one who hears their father's instruction and their mother's teaching, the promise is there is a podium place for you. It's not merely a place, but they will stand on the highest step of the Olympic tri-stepped podium, right? The garland of victory will be placed like a crown upon their head, and they will have a pendant like a gold Olympic medal set around their neck. Those who are victorious are so because as they walk in and through this life, they walk with their ears open, listening to instruction. Now consider this. What is the achievement that you would like to crown your life? Right? What are you hoping that your life is adorned with? Is it accomplishment? Is it connection? Is it indispensability? That is, others can't get along without you. Is it wealth? Is it a lack of conflict and just ease? Is it desirability? Being right? Now, those things, they're not bad in and of themselves, but if they become the true north by which you orient the direction of your life, they're not going to lead you to a place of thriving and blessing. There's not going to be any victory or honor there. What is it that will lead you to that place of glory and honor and thriving? Our father guide here in Proverbs says this, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Right. There are those, however, who are not inclined to listen. And rather than hearing and considering and applying, there are those who seek a shortcut. And that leads us to our second, the shortcut of sinners. Now, the word here that's used, sinners, is not people who sin, merely people who sin. It's really, it's harsher than that. These are criminals. The way in which you could think about it is that these are the thugs. You know thugs, and you know there are sinners, right, who may in some measure evoke compassion from you, right, because they're the sort of person who is jovially ridiculous. That's not what's being talked about here. These are the takers, the demanders, the stubborn, and the brutish. They are bullies, bullheaded, brutish, Brutuses and Blutos who can't keep their hands off olive oil. Now, I just dated myself. I'm sure that just shot over a lot of people's heads. But a bully, just if that's good enough, you can hang with that. Now, hear this. Each one of us has a thug inside. And there are many ways to be a thug. Right, to be a thug in Proverbs 1 isn't merely in being a gangster or a henchman. To be a thug is the inevitable destination for a person who will not live by faith. The thug entices others, lies in wait, ambushes, is unreasonable, is a devourer, is restlessly curious, greedy, avaricious, and they are not content to go down alone. They drag people with them. And each of the ways these sinner thugs are described, they're described as a person who is living without any recognition of God. They ignore God as the one who could grant them what it is that they desire and what it is that they need. And as they ignore the God who directs and gives the timing to the provisions that they seek, right? They don't trust him. They trust in their own fists and in their own schemes. They are self-energized people, self-seeking people, self-governed people, demanding people who force their wills on other people. Right? You think about this. If you think you're the only person who can give you what you want, what kind of person will that make you? The desperate fear that you will not be filled with that for which you desire and long can drive you to do all sorts of things that in a reasonable moment you would never imagine that you could possibly do. Sinners take the shortcut. Right? Look at the community that they promise in taking their shortcut. We will all have one purse. Every fascist and communist has promised the exact same thing. Right? What on earth could possibly go wrong in a community of people who think that they can force one purse on other people? What lengths would people like that go to in order to demand one purse? Right? What would their justice look like? How brutal would they have to be? Right? They seem maybe to have a noble discipline. We might admire their pomp, their efficiency, their straight lines, their pogroms, their purges and revolutions, but this is anti-community. It is the pirate's code. It ultimately undoes and destroys itself. You cannot build a community by destroying others. Right? For a community to thrive, it isn't one purse. It is the members of a group who are pursuing the development of their character. Each person, on their own, one at a time, right, pursuing the Lord, pursuing the growth of their character. Community, a group of people pursuing that, shapes you as you play your part in it and shapes others. So this is maybe the question for you to ask yourself, is what communities are you involved in that are discipling you? You are being discipled by communities. We're tempted to go along every day without trusting in the Lord, without living in the fear of the Lord. Right? What will it take, from you so that you are, what will it take? What would happen to you in such a way that you would give yourself over so as to be drugged down into the pit that the thugs are digging for themselves? What does it actually take for you to end up in that place? Well, it just takes one thing, your consent. Just following where they are going. It is the least amount of a decision. To end up in the trap that the thugs set for themselves, all you have to do is to not hold your foot back. You don't start by having to affirm some creed and paying hefty dues. You don't have to lead the charge and wherever it is that they're going. All you have to do is step in line and follow where it is that they're headed. It is easy to live without faith. It only requires your consent. Right? However, to live by faith requires your, and I'm going to use Bob's favorite word, commitment. It requires your commitment. Say that with me. Commitment. Living by faith requires my
commitment.
It requires your deciding to do so. There's no shortcut. There is only the way. And is that way wide? No. It is narrow. Is that way easy? No. It is steep and hard. Is that way taken by many? No. It is taken by few. So as we embark on this way and this pursuit of wisdom, we have to remember this. Our teacher has a word to help us as we walk. Okay? Right, we need this commitment. We need to decide to do so. And the word that is going to help us as we pursue and head out on this road is walk. The pace of pilgrims is the pace of a walk. The violent, the brutes, the thugs, they imagine that blessing can be taken at any moment. That's the hope of every person who will not live by faith in God and in the fear of the Lord. The thing that they want, they believe, is just beyond their reach. And it is always a reasonable response to that, an answer to the desire and the longing of their hearts, right, to take. When the world's first billionaire, Nelson Rockefeller, was asked, "How much is enough?" Do you remember what he responded with? Just a little bit more. The violent can lie in wait, but they devour and swallow whole, take life and fill themselves. And consequently, they will never be at rest or at peace. They will never have enough. They will never produce or cultivate life because they're too busy taking it. They will be stuffed but never satisfied. The faithless thug always thinks satisfaction and victory is just one step away, and they never put together the reality of doing the same thing over and over again has never gotten them what it is that they finally wanted. It is drunk thinking. Right? It is the hopeless cycle of addiction. It is not sobriety. Some things they do may look bold, but those things aren't courageous. They are shameless. It isn't hopeful. It's faithless. To run into evil and to shed innocent blood? What on earth are we thinking? Right? The pace of pilgrims, though, who are pursuing wisdom goes only so fast as that they can hear the counsel of the wise. They travel in a community with others who are seeking the same wisdom. They are deliberate in their steps, traveling at the pace of a walk. This is in a contrast, right, into those others that the Proverbs calls the simple. The simple may look patient and deliberate in what it is that they do, but they're actually just non-committal. They keep their options open. Their FOMO, their fear of missing out, keeps them perpetually scrolling screens, viewing other people's lives, right? While they're at home, lying on their backs in the dark, bathed in a silver light, envious, anxious, and immobile. If we are a people who are going to walk in such a way and at a pace that we might grow in wisdom, we need to be quickened to slowness. There are no shortcuts. The mantra of the Navy SEALs is this: slow is smooth, and smooth is fast. Slow is smooth, and smooth is fast. That is wisdom. Now, for those who demand hot and now, we have a warning, and that's the, fourthly, the gain of the greedy. Right, the foolishness of their tactics to have things on their own terms and under their own conditions is like a trapper who has set a bird snare while the bird is watching. To do that, right, to live in such a way is to be, in fact, a bird brain. To gain, the gain which the greedy seek to quickly get and be filled only leaves them with getting their just desserts. They are quick to shed blood, but it's ultimately their own lives that they spill out. The scams by which they play their marks will become the scam that makes them the mark. Right? The Lord's justice will be poetic. The greedy who take life will give their life for a loss. So this is why, friends, that we need to take the pursuit of wisdom so seriously. Why it is that it's so urgently important for us. We're talking about a journey of eternal importance and of immediate value to us. The book of Proverbs is a treatment. It isn't just a pill. It's a pathway. It's not just a door. It isn't an adventure. It's a quest, right? Although that quest is filled with a lot of adventures. As we step out the door, right, to borrow a line from Tolkien, J.R.R. Tolkien, in The Lord of the Rings, we must heed Bilbo Baggins' advice. It's a dangerous business, Frodo, going out your door. You step onto the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to. Friends, if we keep our feet and follow wisdom's instruction, we will have just that. We will be swept off into the undying lands of light and love and life. But first, you have to stop and you have to hear.